so that I could preach it. And so this isn't what typically might be done by others, but I just want to share the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share how he was born of a virgin. And actually, we're going to back up before verse 16. We're mainly in 18 through 25. But if you'll back up to verse 12, and as we get started and we read throughout the end of this lineage, it says, and notice the pattern from one to another. It says, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. And Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud. And Abiud begat Eliakim. And Eliakim begat Azar. And Azar begat Sadoc. And Sadoc begat Achim. And Achim begat Eliud. And Eliud begat Eleazar. And Eleazar begat Mathan. And Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph. And does it say that Joseph begat Jesus? No, it changes right there. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus was not born of man. Jesus was not born of Joseph. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit through Mary. There has been an attack on the deity of Christ by every religion and so many falsifying organizations that you can think of. Jesus Christ has been accused of being an illegitimate child, that he is from an unwed mother, and his virgin birth has been rejected by many. It's safe to say that most frequently among attack doctrines of the critics of Christianity, right up there at the top, has been the doctrine of the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so-called Christian seminaries out there, and polls have been taken, and over 50% of much of the student body rejected the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. There are many who want to ignore this subject, but the truth of this matter is not going away. It's not going to fade away. I'll tell you right now that nothing is ever going to disprove his virgin birth. But many want to ignore it. But Jesus Christ is divine. He is the God-man. He is fully God and he is fully man. He is human through his conception in Mary by the Holy Ghost. Fully God and fully man. In getting started, just a few random statements here about this wonderfully disturbing event. That's a couple of words that I wanted to put together. This event is wonderfully disturbing. It's an earth-shaking event. First of all, Jesus was born of the Spirit. That had never happened before. That's never going to happen again. This event nearly severed an engagement. You look at Joseph and you look at Mary and the appearance of this situation. And Joseph was minded to put away his fiancée he was betrothed to. This event had an angel to tell the story. An earth-shaking event. This event was prophesied in Scripture long before we read of it in verses 18 through 25. This event brought about amazing submission from Joseph and from Mary. You just think about that day and time. People are the same way today as they were back then. Okay? So you think about the appearance of this situation and the embarrassment that would come upon them because of the appearance of what was happening here. Mary had conceived. She was expecting a child, and she was betrothed to Joseph. They had never known one another in such a way. Can you imagine the opinions that started to fly? The opinions from family members, from friends, from close people all around them. I mean, there were feelings that were put into what they thought about this without them knowing the truth. Man, I don't want to get off track, but that's such a dangerous thing to start having feelings and thoughts about something without knowing the situation. And so think about Joseph and Mary in this situation and the difficulties that would come upon them, yet they submitted to God in spite of it all. Look with me in verse 18. At the pregnancy. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Is Matthew making up a fairy tale here? No, this is not Matthew's story. This is God's story that he is telling through Matthew. God is telling us that Mary conceived by way of the Holy Spirit. Scripture has given evidence to this, and it must be accepted or rejected. Jesus, the Lord, doesn't flinch at those who are skeptical about this and doubt it. God hasn't packed up and gone home with his plan just because people haven't believed it. You know, God doesn't feel convicted to defend himself against someone who would be skeptical about it. I mean, truth belongs to God. He's the owner of truth. And it is either accepted or it is rejected. There are no grounds for skepticism or doubt. What if some do not believe? Does that make the faith of God without effect? No, God has not packed up and gone home with his truth. This is clearly a virgin birth. The verse says, before they came together, she was found with child. We see divine genealogy here in this account. Of Mary was born Jesus, who is called Christ. When we look at the scriptures, we find how careful the scriptures are not to name Joseph as the father of Jesus. Listen to chapter 2 here of Matthew in verse 13 as the angel speaks to Joseph. It says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Chapter 2, verse 20, saying, arise to Joseph, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. The Bible doesn't say to Joseph, Joseph, take your son. The Bible doesn't say, Joseph, you and your wife Mary, take your son that you have had together. It doesn't say that. How about Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4? It says this, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I hear God in there. I hear God as the Father of the Son of God. And I hear Mary in there. But Joseph is specifically left out. The Bible declares that Jesus was born without the involvement of man whatsoever. Jesus Christ is the product of virgin birth. He does not have a human father. Humanly speaking, look, that's impossible. That's not how babies get here. But there's something miraculously different about the birth of Jesus Christ. A human male had nothing to do with it. This birth is completely unique. It is special. It is unusual to any other birth. The Bible says in Genesis 3:15, it speaks of the seed of the woman. Now, I don't want to take you all back to my whole ninth grade year of health class, but let me say just for a second here that look, the Bible never refers to the seed of man with Jesus, but the seed of the woman. But in health class, I learned that the female does not carry the seed. The man does. But we have something completely out of normal standards here. The seed of the woman. Jesus Christ was not born by way of standard normal means that we might think of. And this cannot be comprehended by the human mind. That's why so many people want to dismiss the subject. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to consider it. I don't know about you, but I love it that my God and His thoughts and His ways are far above my thoughts and my ways. And He says that in His Word. It can't be comprehended, so there are many who want to sweep it under the rug and they want to deny. But look, what this time of year, when we share Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through 25, some people expect it. Somebody was talking about some eye rolling earlier with their children. I taught one year at the only other church I pastored. I taught Matthew 1, 18 through 25, the Sunday morning before Christmas. We went back Sunday night and I brought another message from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And someone rolled their eyes when I asked them to turn to, not in an ugly way, but still, you know, and I'm not accusing them of anything, but it just seems to be something we expect. But look, these verses are more than something that we just bring up and preach about in December. These verses will open any heart into believing by saving faith and trusting and believing in virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you think about it, it's the nucleus for what we believe. Because if Jesus was born of man, then we are gathering together to worship and to praise man, if that be the case. But that is not the case. He was born of the Holy Spirit and Mary, and He is deity. And we gather to worship and to praise Almighty God. His life is a supernatural life. He was not only miraculously born and lived a perfect life, but He died and He was resurrected from the grave, never to die again, and He hasn't. He is eternal, and He gives eternal life. And we could make a list of proofs of His deity all throughout God's Word and spend an extra hour doing that, but that'll be something we do on another night. But Jesus Christ is God Almighty in a human body. Verses 18 through 25 is the divine account of this. And Matthew boldly writes, by way of the Holy Spirit, knowing that there are going to be Jews who will read this and launch an attack on what he is saying. But the truth of Jesus Christ, it is not going to be disproved. It is not going to be defeated. If he would not have been born of a virgin, he would not be able to save us. No one would be able to be saved. Everyone would go to hell. No one's sins would be forgiven if this miraculous birth were not true. Praise the Lord that it is. Some have said that there were stories that went around during that time of other virgin births. They said there were other myths, and it was a popular thing that went around. Well, I've heard that maybe there were about 80 gospels around when the four true gospels came out. What would we say about 76 other gospels that the devil wrote them? And the devil could have had some stories about some virgin births. But there has been one true account of a virgin birth, and that is of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit and Mary. It only happened once, and it was a miracle. And the Son of God manifested himself upon this earth. God came in the flesh. These verses should never just be the thought of a story that we share in December. It's a biblical account of truth, and we must never lose the wonder of this miracle and what Christ's virgin birth means. He is divine, he is deity, and he's able to redeem mankind. And he has saved. This is the divine account of Jesus, but let's not just consider his pregnancy, but let's look at a prophecy. Look with me at verses 22 and 23. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Verses 18 through 25 is not the first account of this. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, there was an account given by the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament declaring this truth. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you put Matthew's declaration together that the Holy Spirit gave him with the prophecy of the revelation of God that was given to him, and you have support of one another in the Bible. The Bible backs up the Bible. What it says in one place, it's going to say in another place as well. And the Bible is never going to contradict the Bible. And the critics crumble at this truth. They don't show it. They won't admit it. But they crumble over the truth of God that is backed up, and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ stands still as a fact. It's impossible to get around it. There is no way to explain it away. Mary had no such of a relationship with man in order to be able to have a child, but Matthew records this miracle of the Bible saying so, and so does Isaiah. Isaiah says a virgin shall conceive. Matthew says it again. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Some people have tried to dismiss it by saying that Isaiah could have used a better, more specific word for virgin. Well, in the Hebrew, the word that is used there, it is best used for virgin where he uses that word. And then when you go into the Greek where Matthew uses the word, that word is telling us that Mary has never known a man. The Bible backs up the Bible. So those who hate this truth, they hate it, but they cannot explain it away. Mary had a child, not by man. We think, in humanly speaking, that it's not possible to have a child in that way. But it wasn't possible that man was involved because of the biblical account given by way of the Holy Spirit says it wasn't. And as we might think about Mary for a minute, you know, many people have exalted her to a place that is unbiblical, where she doesn't belong. And it's just like people to really tear down something worse than they should just because someone has told a lie about something and made something out to be something it's not. And I say that because of the wonderful testimony of this Christian woman, Mary, as we would think about her. As we go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, we consider the scene and everything that this is going to cause difficulty for Mary's life in and Joseph's. But it says that the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And then in verse 38 it says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary believed God. Mary submitted to the word of God, no matter how much difficulty this might have initially brought. Mary is a chaste woman of holy conversation. Her faith is characteristic of it. Mary is the virgin who was with child. Isaiah says so, Matthew says so, but that's not all that's said in this prophecy. It's also said that this child's name shall be called Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. The Messiah was introduced wrapped in this glorious name, Emmanuel. And some say he was never called that. Well, Emmanuel is a descriptive name telling us of the fact that God is with us. If Jesus weren't Emmanuel, he couldn't be our Savior. But he is. What a comforting truth to know that God is with us. He appeared in the flesh, but spiritually, he is with us. He has already lived and died, buried, resurrected, descended to heaven. And he's coming back again. But until then, look, in trials and troubles of our lives, he is with us. He is always with us. What a comforting fact in times of trouble that we go through. When we sit alone and we're tempted to stew over a trouble in our lives that could just deflate us and take us lower and lower and tempt us to depression, we can talk to the Lord right then and there and know that he hears us, know that he understands, and know that he can help. God is with us. What a support, what a strong consolation there is in that name. As Matthew was speaking this truth and quoting the prophecy that had gone forth before. But let's also look at the purity that we see in verses 24 and 25. It says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep,
did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8 and verse 7 says, "And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her." I say that just to say that God is serious about purity. Not only were there no relations between Mary and Joseph at the betrothal or during the betrothal, during their time of Joseph having her as fiancé, but Joseph didn't touch Mary, the Bible says here, until after Jesus was born. We can talk about Joseph for a minute. He's left out of being the father, but what an amazing earthly father role he played in raising Jesus. And we can mention a few things about Joseph here. And that is that he wasn't willing to put her away in front of everyone publicly. When he looked at the greatest thing that was ever happening and being manifest on this earth, he thought the worst of it, and that she had been unfaithful to him. But he wasn't going to put her away. And then after he believed the word of God, he took her as his wife, though there were going to be so many assumptions that were made of them, and so much humiliation would come upon them. There's also no testimony against him as the earthly father role that he fulfilled. Can you imagine the challenge there in him raising the Son of God? For him to say, "Well, you know, you had a good idea, but I have one better." How would you like to hear that one from the kid that you're raising? And for it to be true, it was. Joseph was righteous, though, and he submitted to God. And it says here that he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. To some, the million-dollar question is, did Joseph and Mary have other children after Jesus? Because after Jesus was born. And many people say no. Many people say no, Mary never did. Well, that's an easy question to answer, though, because you find the answer in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. If I can get there, I'll read it for you. It says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. That's an easy question to answer, because the Bible says so, that he had brothers and sisters. But speaking of a question and an answer, I would close with this tonight from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. It says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them," here's the question from Jesus, "saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David." Jesus had something to answer back to them. "He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions? That's a good question for everyone to answer, because this is such an important truth that we share the doctrine of, that Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Spirit and of Mary, not of man. You know, there are multitudes who put Jesus on a human level. There are many professing Christians that seem to treat him as such. But maybe there's just a time for us to stop and to reflect tonight on the fact that Jesus is truly, divinely, fully God and fully man. He is God's Son who came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The important truth of the fact that he was born of a virgin, that connects with everything that it takes for him to be Lord and Savior. And maybe tonight, by the question, whose son is he? Maybe there is such a way that someone hasn't thought before of the deity of Jesus Christ in what he did to provide a salvation for us from all of our sins, that we would be forgiven, that we would know him as Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that God does not want anyone to be a doubting people of what's going to happen to them in eternity. And I don't know if maybe there'll be one here tonight, or maybe one listening online, if we are even online, who does not have that certainty in their heart. You know, God is no respecter of persons, and there are Christians who will testify tonight that they know that they're going to heaven when they die. Do you know that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That you're saved? Would you know that tonight? God does not want anyone to continue in doubt and uncertainty about it. You do not have to exhaust yourself in positive thinking to try to tell yourself, yes, I'm saved. You don't have to convince yourself you're saved. Jesus Christ convinces you of what he has completely provided for you when you have trusted in him by faith in his Son. His Son, who was miraculously born, not of man, but of the Holy Spirit and of woman. And he lived a sinless life. He lived the life that we couldn't. And he died the death that we should have. He did that for us. Would you trust him tonight if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? We're going to close this service, and we're not going to have a hymn of invitation. That doesn't have to happen. You know, the preacher was once interrupted in the midst of his sermon by someone out in the congregation. They yelled out that they need to be saved. And this preacher had actually spoken with this person before about salvation. And so the preacher said, "What are you?" And they cried out, "I'm a sinner. And I need Jesus to save me from my sins." And they were saved right then. And I pray that might happen for you in some way before you leave this building tonight. I would love to take the Bible and to share with anyone here the greatest burden and the heaviest weight that will ever be on your life. Your eternal destiny, not knowing where you're going, you can know in Jesus Christ. We're going to bow to the Lord in a word of prayer. And after we bow, we're going to be dismissed. But I would just like to urge anyone not to leave here if the Lord is convicting their heart that they need to be saved. Would you be saved tonight? Let us pray. Father God, we bow before you this evening, and we thank you for a time that we've being able to share in a small setting as a church family together. I'm so glad that you placed me in the family of God. I thank you for brothers and sisters that are here tonight and for those of the church who can't be, Lord, and ask your blessings upon everyone who's traveling, and that you bring them back safely from their families out of town, out of state. But Lord, you've given us a special time here, and I don't mean to be cliche, you know it, Lord, but it's no accident that there are those here who are present tonight, and you knew all about it. And I thank you for your saving grace. I thank you for the miracle of your Son that we believe by faith. And we know your truth. And it will never disappoint. It will never let us down. You have saved us for eternity, and you're taking us home one day. And we thank you for this. We ask your blessings now as we leave this place. And Lord, I ask that you trouble the heart of the one greatly who does not have peace in your eternal salvation, that they might even come to know you before they leave the house of God tonight. We thank you for truly a Merry Christmas, to be in your house twice today and to glorify you and to magnify the miraculous birth of your precious Son, Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You are dismissed.